You've probably seen him before if you've been around Central for a while. His name is Doug Fordham. He works on staff at our fellowship ministry office in Walnut Grove. He has done that for, it's been a while, Doug, and it's been a while because he's about to retire. So his role is in ministry resourcing. You always hear him speaking on the subject of stewardship and on finances. That's kind of his role. And so that's why this afternoon, as we've been talking with you about, we have a special seminar on estate planning and wills. So he'll be leading that later on. But it's such a practical, important subject to be talking about. What does it look like for the gospel to renew that part of our life? We are talking each week about how it renews parts of our lives. And this week we're going to be talking about that. Now, Doug, you can come on up. Do you want to bring your sidekick with you, or are you just going to point him out? His sidekick is Jim Zielinski. I'm just giving him a hard time. So Jim is the heir apparent, and Jim's being trained, and Jim is a very skilled man in his own right. Was on staff at Maple Ridge Baptist for many years, and is now taking over Doug's role as Doug is going to be, ministering to the Green family, maybe? The Greens?
Quite a bit.
Something, if you catch that allusion. I don't know. He's a good golfer. Thank you for coming so much, Doug. We appreciate you being here. Please open up the word to us.
Thank you. So Jim is of a short stature, so you can't see him when he's sitting down. I'm going to ask him to stand on his chair, please. There you go. Jim and I are learning to love each other. We have worked together for a number of years when Jim was at Maple Ridge Baptist, and so it's really great to be able to have Jim come alongside me now. We're kind of overlapping a little bit. Jim brings with him a whole different set of gifts and skills and things like that that I don't have, and so it's not necessarily that he's replacing me, but he has taken over my office and thrown me out. And so this next week, I'm going to say, phooey on you, I'm driving to Arizona. And that's exactly what I'm going to do on Tuesday while Jim takes over my office. Have fun. It's really good to be here with you today. And it's a privilege for us as a fellowship ministry center to count this church as part of our group of almost 100 churches throughout the province of BC. And it's great to be able to serve you in any way that you can. We eat, sleep, and breathe as a ministry center team, how we can help our churches. And so whatever we can do, we'll do that. And it's been great to be part of that team for a number of years. It's Barton wondered how many years. It's been, I'm in my 22nd year, actually, of doing that. And so when I first started coming to this church, Ernest Kennedy was here. Actually, he wasn't here. He was over there. You know how it was. This wasn't here. This was a little bit of a parking lot, if I remember rightly, a little gravel pit. And that's how it was. And what God has done to bring us together to this place and the number of people's lives that have been impacted by the ministry that has come out of and been done through this church, it's marvelous and it's worth giving God glory for. And if you felt like clapping, you just could, because let's celebrate today, shall we? Yeah, thank you. Good. It's God is good, and there's more good things that is going to happen. And it's just good to be with you today. Before I get too far into it, I want to tell you about there was a man who by trade was a piano tuner, and his name was Mr. Opernocketty. And one day, an elderly lady asked him to come and tune her piano because it was sticking in various keys, and it was didn't sound very good. And so he came, and he tuned her piano, and she paid him the money, and he went away. And a week later, she called him again and said, "This piano is not tuned properly. I want you to come and do it again." And he said, "Madam, you must understand that Opernocketty only tunes once." Oh, boy. My dad was an Englishman, and so he was allowed to make fun of the English, and he said, if you want to make an Englishman happy in his old age, you tell him a joke in his youth. And so that was better than the first one. Okay, let's move on, shall we? We want to talk about opportunities, and That's not the opportunity. Opportunity. I'm going to say that again, opportunity. What I really mean is opportunities. When they come knocking, what do we do with it? I suspect that it's real, that most of us could look back in our lives with a tinge of regret, perhaps, for having wasted an opportunity, having wasted a chance to do something good, maybe more than one, maybe more than that. Certainly, I've missed my share of opportunities. I recall one that is hard to live past. When I was a rebellious teenager, I was born and raised in India. That started before I was a rebellious teenager. But I was born and raised in India, and my rebellious years was when I was in India as a boarding school student. And on a dare one day, I went down to the marketplace and I stole a toy from a vendor that was on the corner. I could take you to that very spot where that happened. And a number of years later, God changed my life and He turned me around and I gave up that rebellion. And by the grace of God, somehow He fixed some of that stuff. And I never had the opportunity to go back and make it right with that vendor on the corner in the marketplace. Until 19 years later when I visited India again and I went back to that place and I wanted to see that man so that I could ask for forgiveness and pay him for what I had stolen. And he wasn't there. And I remember standing there stricken with grief thinking that was really stupid. Man, what a stupid thing I did. And I've wasted that opportunity to be able to witness to somebody, to be able to ask for forgiveness. And the best that I could do was to pull out some money and give it to the vendor that was there now. I tried to tell him the story. I really think he thought I was crazy. But I gave him the money anyways, and he took it. And I thought, well, that didn't fix the problem, but that's about the best I can do other than just ask God for forgiveness for the time when I really messed up with that opportunity. And you know, that's what happens sometimes is we can't just keep living in the past. We just ask for God to cover us with kind of a blanket of forgetfulness, and then we just rest in God's grace and forgiveness. And I've lived most of my life with that kind of thing. I don't know if you have, but that's how I have. I read an article this past week that said, here are the 10 saddest phrases in the English language. And right near the top of that list were these two. If only. Have you ever said that? If only I had done that. If only, if only. If only. And the second one was this one. It might have been. If I had taken that opportunity, if I had done that in a different way, if I had used what I had differently, it might have been. And we live with that regret. Will Rogers, who lived around the turn of the previous century, an American comedian and actor, he said this. He said, don't let yesterday use up too much of today. I thought, that's worth thinking about. Don't let yesterday use up too much of today. And I think sometimes we look at wasted opportunities and we look at chances that we had to do something good and we have to just move on. We have to say, God, I'm sorry, I messed up, I screwed up, but I can't change that now. It's done. It's finished. I'm going to move on. And yet most of us could also look back in our lives and see a time or two when we actually did make the most of an opportunity. We did use it to its full advantage. And we now look back and we say, wow, it was a really good thing I did that. Or it was a really good thing that it turned out that way. And there's the benefit and the satisfaction of having done it right. About 2.5 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer, and the cancer was down in my leg, and I went through a number of surgeries over a period of a couple of years, and such that my leg has now taken on the resemblance of a totem pole. But, you know, back at the time, I was grateful to God for His grace that allowed me to make the best of the situation. I didn't deserve to be able to do that. It was through God's grace to allow me to be positive as I could through that situation. So I started this blog. I started writing a blog. And I just called this blog, "It's Just a Leg." Now, if you got that, yeah, that's it there. That's it there. So I just made a little blog card. I made up the card, and I used to carry it with me, you know, when I was in hospital or visiting nurses or wherever I was. And I would hand out this blog card to people, and it created opportunities. Somebody called it my lemonade stand. And it was like a little lemonade stand because the first thing they would ask me is, "Who's that little kid in the picture?" And I'd say, "Well, that's a little kid that I met in a village in India." "Oh, in India. What were you doing in India?" "Well, I was, you know, this is where I grew up." And I, you know, all sorts of opportunities. I get to tell them my life story and how God had completely changed my life. And how I was now in a position where I don't care if I die from this cancer. It's really okay with me. You know, that's fine. And I can be really positive about this. And it opened up many, many opportunities. I gave that little blog card to doctors, to nurses in the hospital. They would just wake me up from having come out of surgery, and they'd be smacking me on the face and trying to wake me up and say, "How are you doing?" I'm saying, "Great. Why do you think I'm here?" You know, that's a silly question, isn't it? Doctors say, "Well, how are you doing today?" "Well, I'm great. I can't figure out why I'm here." You know, it just doesn't make sense sometimes. But I would give them this card, and they'd look at it, and, "I'll read this." And so there was one doctor that I visited frequently, once a week for quite a long time. And she said, "I read your blog last week, and it was really good." She said, "I was very interested in your story." Now, I know she's not a believer, or wasn't then. She said, "It has really helped me in knowing how I relate to my patients." And I said, "Well, I'm not your average patient, I don't think. Not all of them are going to respond to your surgery the way I do, but good, I'm glad you did." And she started asking me about the story. And in this blog, I'm quite open about my faith. And I think, wow, that's kind of fun, taking that opportunity. I'd like to see how many of those people that I gave that blog card to, actually, I'm going to see in heaven, just because I was able to talk to them about my faith. Where are you planting your lemonade stand? You know, Christ's mandate for each one of us as believers is to have a significant God-honoring impact on the world around us. In Matthew 16, verse 15, he says, "Go into the entire world and preach the good news." In other words, tell people the good news of what God has done through His Son Jesus and how it has impacted your life. Go everywhere and do this all the time. In fact, he goes on to say in another verse, he says, "As you do this and as the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be telling people about me everywhere." This is going to be your lifestyle. You're going to take absolutely every opportunity you possibly can to tell people about what Jesus has done. Why would we do that? Because I want to share what's good in my life with what could be good in your life. It's an awesome thing. But how do we go about doing that? How do we actually go about doing the best and making the best use of every single opportunity? How could we? It's by making the right choices through the shrewd and intelligent use of our resources, whatever our resources are, and making the most of every opportunity. And so we come to this great story that was read for us this morning, a story that Jesus told. And in that, he was illustrating the importance of the wise use of opportunities. So let's have a little closer look at that story in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 down to 30. Thank you for reading that. And as we look at this story, which if you have read the Bible at all, particularly the New Testament, it might be familiar to you. The story of three servants who were called by their master because he wanted to go away, maybe to Arizona. And he gave them three bags of gold, which I'm not going to give to Jim. He'll have to make do with pencils on the desk. Use them well, Jim. I'm going to hold you accountable for those pencils. And what I see here is, in this story, there are three realities that really should motivate us to invest eternally. Now, eternal is a mind-boggling concept. It's how could you find another word for eternal, for an eternal perspective? It's like forever perspective. Can we put it as simple as that? When we make choices about the use of our opportunities and our resources, we need that kind of forever perspective. Three reasons that we should do that. One of these is accountability. We're going to be held accountable for how we use the opportunities and resources that God entrusts to us, that come across our path. Accountability. The second is that in doing it right, we can be channels for God to use. Channels, because God chooses to work through people who are available, and we can be part of that. And the third thing is, we can enjoy God. We can enjoy a relationship with God now, while we're still on earth, living every day, and on into eternity. So let's look at each one of these factors first, in that order. Accountability for God's resources. Well, in this story that we read, there was no question as to who owned the money or what the servant's task was. I mean, they know that they didn't own it. The master just gave it to them for a period of time to look after. It says the man entrusted his money to the servants for a period of time. And their responsibility was to manage it in accordance with what they knew his expectations were and to manage it well. No specific instructions. He didn't tell them what to do. He just expected them to be smart. And then after some time, he returned and he called them to give an account of how they had used his money. We're going to be held accountable for the resources that God has given to us during the time that he has entrusted them to us, including all of the opportunities. The resources, meaning our time and our energy, the money that we have, as well as every single opportunity that we either create or we take advantage of. We're going to be held accountable for that. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17, he says, "Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the world wants you to do." Sorry, what the Lord wants you to do. Do you catch that? Understand what the Lord wants you to do. We must take advantage of resources that God has given to us, and we need to use them well, whether they're our financial resources, whether gifts and talents, our time and our energy. We must take every opportunity to do good in this world. One day we'll stand before Christ, and we will give account. We will receive whatever we deserve for our actions here on earth, whether they are good or whether they are evil, for every word that we speak and for every wasted opportunity. We would be wise to make them count well. And that's about choices. We all have choices. Each of these three men came with they were given the same opportunity, but they made very, very different choices. as to how that they were going to, how they were going to use those opportunities. What they, were they going to do with those opportunities? Two of the servants chose to invest the money wisely, and they looked ahead. They took some risk. They took full advantage of their opportunity. The third servant made the choice to do nothing. He chose to do nothing. It wasn't that he just didn't do anything. He chose to do nothing. He looked behind. He took no risk. He was afraid. And he wasted his opportunity. You see, we choose daily what we do with what God has entrusted to us. We always have a choice. And we will be held accountable for our choices. The second thing, the second reason for us to think about investing our resources, whatever they are, and our opportunities with an eternal perspective is that God uses people as channels. You see, the owner in Jesus' story knew that he needed to work through people to accomplish what he wanted. But he knew his servants well, and he gave them differing amounts in proportion to their abilities. We might think, well, that's not fair. Well, it is. It's fair according to their abilities. And in the same way, God has chosen to work through people. And God does not give us all the same amount, either of money or possessions or time, or the same kind of resources. He gives us differing amounts of material possessions, unique giftings. He gives us individual opportunities, and each one of those that come across our path, we need to choose. We will choose what to do with them. God looks for those people to whom he can entrust his resources so that his purposes will be accomplished. And to those who manage them well, he gives more. Did you notice an interesting verse in there? Verse 29. The first half of it says, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. You see, God is looking for faithful people through whom he can channel his financial blessings. He's looking for generous people. I was thrilled when you said the goal was 22,000. I love it when we blow open goals and targets and you got 43. Wow, that's God's kind of channeling. I love that. What a great example of generosity. God looks for people through whom he can channel. He looks for open channels rather than dams and reservoirs. If you hoard your resources, that is all that God will give. In fact, you probably will even lose that. Verse 29 says that quite specifically. From those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Here's one of those strange but true facts. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, it talks about investing generously for eternity. And if you do that, more will be given. The writer of the Proverbs observes, one shares liberally and yet gains even more. He gives away a lot, and he gets even more, while another hoards more than is right and still has need. How does that work, he says. We've probably all encountered that time and time again in our lives. I have. So speaking of generosity, Paul, in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 and 11, says this, God will provide and increase your resources, and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will always be enriched in every way so that you will always be generous. He says that's why God gives you more and more and more, so that you can give more and more and more. It's not so that we can hoard it. You can't take it with us. We're going to find that out this afternoon, in case you didn't know that before. God is looking for open channels through whom he can produce this harvest of generosity in people. And when we invest internally, with an eternal perspective, as we make wise choices about every single opportunity, then we allow God to work through us. We allow God to work in us and through us as his channels. But here's the third reason, And it was kind of like the end of each of the three stories for those servants. The third reason that we should invest opportunities and resources eternally is this: enjoying God. That's part of His plan for us. That's part of His design from the beginning, was that we should enjoy a relationship with Him. When the two wise servants gave account of what they had done with their master's money, they were rewarded well. Verses 21 and 23, they were happy to report, actually. They were quite thrilled. They said, look what we've done. This has really worked. Because they had made wise choices. They'd made the best use of their opportunities. And they were commended for their faithfulness. They were given more responsibilities. They were invited to celebrate with their master. They were invited to enjoy being in his presence. It says, the master said to each of them, enter into the joy of your Lord. Let's celebrate together. Let's go have a party because this has really worked well. What would happen if we did take full advantage of our opportunities and make the best use of them? If we really do choose to invest God's resources in eternity, then we can enjoy that rich personal relationship with God, both now here on earth and forever. Jesus said, when he was on earth in John chapter 10, he said that his purpose in coming to earth was so that we may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance. Not just that we have to wait until we die and then we go to heaven, but to have life and to have it in abundance to the full, he said, till it overflows. That was his plan for us. But you know, he will never force our decisions. He will never force us to make the right decision when we have a choice about how we will use the resources he has entrusted to us, or the decision we're going to make about the opportunity that we have created or that comes our way. It is our choice. And we will have to live with the consequences of that choice about how we invest his resources. But think of the potential. Think of the potential of doing it right. What could it be like? I love Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now, all glory be to God, who is able, through his mighty power that is at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or imagine. God can do far more than what we could ever ask or imagine. What could it be like if we were able to, if we did make the right choices, if we did make the best use of every opportunity, and we come back to him and we report to him, this is what we did. You gave us this. We came back with double. This is great. And he will say, come and let's celebrate together. Man, I'm looking forward to that. And you can too. Making the best use of every opportunity. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the free will that you have given to us, the fact that we can actually decide what to do with that opportunity or how to use the resources that you've given to us. It's an awesome responsibility. I pray that you'd give us a glimpse of an eternal perspective, what it would be like to make the right choices so that we can look forward to reporting to you and saying, we did it right. By the grace of God, we did it right. Thank you. And then we'll celebrate with you. Thank you for the joy of coming into your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.